talking about Kimi's early possibility of giving birth to Charlotte, and so just a full circle, many more things to go, and so it's a blessing. Let's continue and go straight into the passage. It's Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 26. Acts 11, 19 through 26. And the Bible in the back is page 787. Page 787. I'll read it for us. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. I was in high school when I first heard some statistics about how many Americans believe that they're Christians. And this number has actually declined a lot in 1900s. I heard like 1950s, 90% of people in America identify themselves as a Christian. I think this year, the most recent survey, actually last year, 2015, I think it's down to about 76%. Still a huge majority. When I was in high school, I think it was somewhere in 80s, low 80s. And I was thinking, and I wasn't trying to be judgmental, but I was going to high school, and I had a lot of friends, and I was walking, you know, around my high school campus, and I was looking at people, and I was thinking to myself, are 8 out of 10 people that I'm walking by Christians? You know, that's what statistics told me. And it was really hard for me to believe that they're Christians, per se, you know, because, I mean, I knew my life, I knew their lives, and there's a lot of things that don't coincide with Christianity and you know, the way they talk, the way they act, and so on, right? And as I got older, it always made me think, whether I was working or at school, you know, just 8 out of 10 or 7.5 people out of 10, they identify themselves with Christians. And so it's really interesting for me when so many people say, I'm a Christian. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of statistics about how often they go to church. And they say about 38% of the people go to church regularly, meaning at least a couple times a month. And about 33% of people go to church like monthly or yearly. Okay? This is a whole population. And about 29% of people will never go to church. And what's even more interesting about that is people say that they've actually done studies on it. When people do surveys like that, they always lie. So you can't take that statistic for real. And so if you do anonymous surveys about how often they attend church, they say only about 31% of people attend church regularly, 26% monthly or yearly, 43% never or seldom. Okay? Now, within that numbers, I mean, there's a lot of numbers, and so I don't want to confuse you guys, but, you know, I was thinking, okay, 75% of people consider themselves Christians, 43% never go to church. So there's an overlap there where at least 18% never go to church, and yet they consider themselves a Christian. You know? And I think, if we're really honest, it's going to be really hard for us to believe, hey, you know what, 75% of Americans are really Christians? I don't know. Because there's so much of the world that we live in seems not in line with what Christianity teaches, what the Bible teaches. And that's like me, you know, I look at my life like, I don't know, how good of a Christian am I? It's hard to believe, right? Now, the passage that I share today, I love it, because in verse 26, it says this, and in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Meaning, for the first time in history of Christianity, group of people were identified as Christians. And what's so significant about it is, I think the world that we live in, we love to have labels and titles. And so oftentimes it's us who give ourselves the label and title. You know, I'm a Christian. Identify myself as this group or this political group or whatever. But the very first Christians that were, you know, called by that name were not the ones who called themselves a Christian. If you study this passage, what's clearly taught is they were called Christians by people who were not Christians, people who were living in that area, and they looked at the way they were living, and they said, you know what, we're going to call them Christians, because Christian means Christ follower. You know, it doesn't mean good or bad. It just identifies them as people who live by what Christ teaches, who are disciples of Jesus Christ, who try to live by what they were taught. And I see a strong contrast in that, right? Original Christians, they're called Christians by other people who are not Christians, who just examined their lives. And they saw something in them, and they said, you know what? I'm going to call them a Christian because they're followers of this guy named Jesus Christ. And they talk like the way he says they should talk. They think and they act like the way Bible teaches. There's no, again, negative or positive comment, but it's just a simple label. And yet I think so often we live in a world where we like to give ourselves titles and we say we are a Christian or we are not, or we are part of this group or not. What would, you know, our closest people, our closest friends, closest family members call us if they examine our lives for a while? Let's go back to the passage. Let me just share a little bit about what's going on. Verse 19 says this. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. And so what's going on is, in the beginning, there was one church in Jerusalem, and it was like exploding. Thousands of people were coming to know God. And what God wanted was, he wanted them to take that message and spread to the world. But like, you know, they're human beings, just like you and me. They like being comfortable. They're from Jerusalem. They're not going to leave their friends and family and their jobs to just share about Jesus. And so they were just in Jerusalem. And so God allowed persecution to happen so that people would be forced to flee and move and go to a different area. It's like us, you know, going to this church for 30 years, and yet God having a heart for us to, you know, go somewhere else. And so in the end, because we refuse to leave this comfort zone, he forces us to go. You know, maybe some of us, you guys, you know, we have to go to Montana, of all places, or Mongolia, you know? Who wants to go to Mongolia? I don't know. I don't really want to go. But God forces it upon them, and so they're forced to go. And it says, they're going and they're speaking about Jesus. Now, in the beginning, most people were just talking to Jews because they're Jews. Like, you know, we're going to only share with people that we know or we're comfortable with. But verse 20 says, there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to Hellenists, meaning people who were from Greek descent, who were not like them, and started talking about Jesus Christ. And so it started exploding. And then Barnabas and Saul comes and they're teaching, and the whole year they meet, and church is growing exponentially. Something amazing is happening. And so it's because of the way they're living and they're acting out that people are recognizing, hey, there's something different about them. They're not Jews. They're not this religion. They're not this or that or that. They're saying it's because they're Christians. They're living like that. And I think for the world today, we need Christians like that. We need Christians like where people don't think you're good or bad, but they say, you know what? Well, I think they're Christian because they live by what they say. Not because we answer a survey and we say, you know, I did identify with this because I grew up in a Christian family. Or because I want people to think that I'm a moral person and I go to church Easter and Christmas. Those two, you know, two Sundays a year where everyone goes to church. No, it's because it's something that we believe in, and we follow after, and we live for. That's what it means to be a Christian. Christ follower. He's our teacher and we are his disciple. And we want to live like Jesus. And that's why I am going to call myself a Christian. Not because I go to a church. Not because my mom forced me to go to church when I was younger. Not because I want to be religious. Not because I'm a moral person. Because I'm a Christ follower. And that's what the Bible teaches. So every single one of us in here who says, you know what, I'm a Christian, what you're confessing is I'm a Christ follower. So I submit myself in every area of my life, how I spend money, how I view my life, how I view my education, how I view my friendships, how I view my relationships, how I view, you know, the way I should think or how I should talk or everything. I'm going to view it as a Christ follower. And I'm going to try my best to live by how Jesus teaches us to live our lives in those areas. And so hence, I call myself a Christian. And I think if you think and live like that as a Christian, then your life has to be different than I think maybe majority of people who live in the country. Now, there are a lot of other surveys that are done on this idea of Christianity, done by Christians who know Christians, and most people say maybe there's about 40% truly who identify with Jesus Christ. Now, everyone says the number of Christians in America are declining. It's just been declining. And especially the younger generation, like Lawrence's generation, you know, Benny's generation, so many people are anti-religion, anti-established religion. But there are good news. People say it's actually groups like Catholics and denominations actually kind of like us that have a lot of history are declining rapidly, but more evangelical Christians, you know, Christians that are kind of more open to society and culture and whatnot, they're actually not declining that much. And so it's interesting how there's trends everywhere. But here's the thing. For me, thinking about Christians always leads me to think about church. What is church? And I always think about Paul, because when Paul was traveling in the Bible, what he would do is this. He would go to a town, and first and foremost, he would look for a synagogue. A synagogue is a Jewish temple, because he's a Jewish person. And he would go there, oftentimes, the very first place to be there that he would teach. And in that place, he would talk to other Jewish people, because they had foundation in the Bible already. They knew who God was, but they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. So they would often go. But there's a rule. Everywhere a Jewish person goes and they go to a new town, let's say Jewish people came to San Jose, if there are more than 10 Jewish people, right away they're supposed to start a temple, a synagogue. Okay? Now, let's say there are Jewish people in San Jose, but there are less than 10 people, there was always a rule where they would go to the nearest river on Sabbath, which for them was Saturday, and they would look for other Jewish people to worship together. Because worshiping together was so important. And so whenever Paul went to a place that didn't have a temple, he would know, okay, on Sabbath, I'm going to go to this river, and I'm going to meet people who are like-minded, like me, whom I want to hear about Jesus. And he would go, and he might see three or four people, and they would be the first people that he would share about Jesus with. And sometimes they get converted, and they were the people that he would start the church with in whatever location he went. See, for him, church was never like a building or a title. It was always about people who wanted to be followers of Jesus Christ. And if he had one or two, they would meet together, oftentimes in homes, and they would start a church. People are always church. And I think it's always important for us to keep in mind that when we look at our church, it's always the people. And as a pastor, like I'm ashamed to say, you know, there were moments in my pastor life where, especially when I first started, I always looked at people as almost like tools. Tools that I could use to make the church better. I say, you know, oh, this person, she's really good at this, and let's make her do that. This person, you know, I need him to be like this. And it's almost like a puzzle piece, and you're trying to make them fit to make the church better, which is make it grow bigger, make it look nicer, you know, make yourself look like a successful pastor. And so, oftentimes in church, it almost feels like you're using the people to make the church better, you know? All in, you know, the whole time, God's just trying to tell you that, you know, actually, the people are the church. And you can't sacrifice them so that church will be better because they're the church. And it's a mentality. Church is a group of people who are Christ followers, who want to have fellowship together, and who want to grow old together, who want to share a life together, who want to share the happy moments, sad moments, who want to share those moments where you don't, you know, you're just stressed out beyond belief, ups and downs of life, the moments when you failed, the moments you are just having, you know, the happiest moments of your life, you want to share with them. The weddings, funerals, the births of babies, everything. It's just a group of people that you know are like-minded, not because of our cultural background or because of our interests or sociological, you know, standards, but because we are all Christ followers. That's what church is. And I think the more and more our church focuses on that and grows like that, then we'll become more and more like the church that God wants us to be. Where we're full of people who want to be like Jesus. or people who are interested in becoming like Jesus, wanting to know more about what Jesus is all about so that they could follow him as well. And so I really hope that we have that kind of mindset as we approach our church. It's not a religious thing. There's no rules. I don't judge you if you come 1 week or don't come next week. It's a place where we're supposed to learn more about Jesus and want to be like Jesus and want to live our lives according to the way Jesus teaches. And it's just easier when you have people that you could do it together with, who think like you, who want to be like you, who want to pursue the same things. You know, people who understand your failings, people who will forgive you, people who will still accept you, who will still love you, you know, people that you want to share your life with. That's what church is. I think everyone should find a church like that for yourself, because it will make your life better, and it will make your Christian walk better. And so that's my biggest desire and hope for every single one of us here. Not that it has to be this church, but you find a church somewhere. Our church plays a role in that, where people feel most comfortable, most like Jesus when they're with us. And God bless you guys for that. I hope that all of us, once again, finds a place like that. Let's pray together. God, I just want to thank you so much for this time. Lord, I'm not sure, you know, we live in a world where people are called Christians for the same reasons that people were called Christians back in Acts, back in Antioch. Because back then, it was actually not great to be called Christian because there was persecution. There wasn't things that they could gain by being a Christian, by being called a Christian. Oftentimes, they would have to sacrifice much to be called a Christian. But they were called Christians by people around them because they strove to be like Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you allow us to have that kind of life. I really hope, God, that even as a pastor, that I live a life where people would say, you know what, beyond the title of a pastor, they would say, David is a Christian because I see him trying to be like Jesus. And I hope that people will confess that about every single one of us. And it's not for us to feel bad about or guilty about because our life is not perfect or we're not quite there. It's just the heart and the pursuit of that I know that you desire. The rest, you will lead and guide us. So Lord, we ask for your help. And we ask that our church is a place where people come and we find people who are like-minded, who want to pursue you, who are accepted, who are loved, and that we never forget that church is really about people in every sense. So I thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, at this time, we're going to have time of offering. Jenny, just in.